you can trust that. You can trust that. He's got a message for us if we'll hear it. He's got a message for our kids as well, I'm sure. So at this time, we'll ask our children to be dismissed for children's church. And as they're going, if you would open with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. If you're grabbing a pew Bible right there in front of you, you'll find that on page 1067 in the pew Bible. Mark chapter 4, we're going to cover today from verses 1 down through 34. Let me read for us from verse 21, just a few verses here. Mark writes this, and he said to them, Jesus, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? Verse 22, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. What are you hearing right now? What are you hearing right now? Maybe a page turn. Maybe you hear the hum of the heater, maybe shuffling of feet or someone moving just a little beside you. All of those things were going on before I asked that question. And that's the trick of the question. In asking that question, I shifted our attention. Our attention is shifted. We've begun to hear attentively instead of simply hearing passively. And we've begun to listen. We've begun to pay attention, to hear with attention and not just hear. You can hear without really hearing. You can hear without listening. And so parents, you've probably said that before to your kids, right? You've probably said, I know you hear me, but are you listening to me? Right? We understand that distinction there. We've told our kids that, or maybe we've heard that. Husbands, maybe we've heard that. I don't know. But at many times, most of us, if not all of us, we probably do that to the Word of God. We do that to God's Word. We hear it without really hearing it at times. We hear it without really listening to it. There's only two chapters in the Gospel of Mark that are really taken up by large teaching sections of Jesus. There's only twice, here in Mark 4 and again in Mark chapter 13. In Mark 4, where we are today, we run through a series of parables of Jesus. And there's about 60 different parables in the Gospels all told. Most of them are in Matthew and Luke. They tell a story. Parables, they tell a story. Think of parallel. They lay one thing alongside something else to teach a lesson. It's a common occurrence. They take a common occurrence and they lay it beside a spiritual truth to teach us something. But despite that, they're not always immediately clear. They're not always immediately clear to us, and they're not truly clear at all to those who are not hearing with faith. To understand a parable, you have to hear it with faith, and you can't understand it apart from the one who tells it and his purpose in that parable. So parables are meant to draw us in. When Jesus tells a parable, he's drawing us in to him. He's bringing us closer. He's causing us to ask and to seek truth in him. And so that's why in verse 24, he says, pay attention. Pay attention to what you hear. And in verse 3, he gives the command, listen. Those two commands are the only commands in this passage. Pay attention to what you hear, he says. Listen in verse 3. 10 times in Mark 4. 10 times Jesus will mention something about hearing because our hearing matters. Hearing matters. We know this from Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We'll put it up for you. Romans 10, 17 says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So we won't magnify God. Our mission, if you're new, we have four core values. Magnify. We exist to magnify God. We exist to mature in the faith. We exist to minister to one another, and we exist to multiply our lives as followers of Jesus. We're not going to magnify God. We're not going to minister to others. We're not going to multiply in the faith unless we mature in our hearing the word of God in Christ. So what does it mean to pay attention to what you hear? We're going to consider that together this morning and what we do in response to that. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, help us this morning to do just that, to pay attention to what we hear. And we ask you, Lord, to teach us as we look at Mark 4 and as we consider your word, help us to focus in. And God, reveal to us, Spirit, we ask you to speak to us through your word, that we would learn, that we would grow, that we would be shaped and we would be changed in response, that we would see your truth and we would see the hope it contains to bring those who are outside, inside the family of God, and that we would take that message to them in response to what we hear here today. And so, Lord, teach us and be honored by the way we hear just now. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. In Mark 4, really in the first chunk of this passage, in verses 1 through 25, Jesus gives us two ways that we need to hear attentively. Two ways to hear attentively. And the first thing he teaches us is if we're going to hear attentively, we have to hear prayerfully. We have to hear prayerfully. Look with me at verse 1. Mark says, again, he began to teach beside the sea, as we've seen in this time of Jesus teaching here north of Jerusalem. He's teaching by the Sea of Galilee. It says a very large crowd gathered about him. It's so large, in fact, that he had to get into a boat. He got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He gives this story. It's a common story. Maybe as they're there, as they're on this hillside, this natural amphitheater, hearing Christ speak, maybe they can look around and see this very thing going on. A sower goes out with his seed, and he's just sowing seed. He's scattering this seed, and he describes where some of it falls on different spots of land and what happens as a result of that. And there's a little bit of discouragement here, right? The three-quarters of this seed produce no results, but the ones that do produce an incredible harvest. They say, scholars say, that the average harvest in the area around this time was probably about 3.5 times, maybe 7.5 times. And Jesus is describing 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold times over of a harvest. There's a story. He wants to draw us in. He who has ears to hear, he says, let him hear. And Mark 4:10 kind of cuts in, and Mark tells us something that happens later. He's going to go back to the lakeside in a little bit, but he puts in a story that happens later here in 4:10. It says, when he was alone, those around him with the 12, that's the same kind of scene we see in Mark 3:32. There's a crowd sitting around him, those who are inside, he says. He calls them his family in Mark 3:35. Those who are around him with the 12, they ask him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parable. Jesus makes two distinct groups here. He makes two distinct groups, like in 3:35. There's those who are inside, he says, to you. And then there are those who he identifies as being outside. And when we start to see this, we start to understand the meaning of this parable. Jesus is the sower. In verse 3, he says the sower went out for this purpose. He went out to sow seeds. That, That word there for went out is the same word that Jesus used in Mark 1:38 when he says, the reason I'm here is I came to go out and to preach the good news. He says the same thing in Mark 1:38. He's identifying himself. I'm the sower, and I'm bringing the word. He's going to preach the gospel is what he had said. So Jesus is the sower, and the soils show the responses. We've seen these working up to this point. All the ways that people have responded to him differently as he's gone through his ministry, the responses that he's been getting, creating these two groups, those inside and those outside. He says, to you inside, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. He uses that phrase before in 1:15, and he says, at him the kingdom is drawing near. In Christ, the kingdom of God is coming near. It says, to them the secret is made known. Now, if you're reading from King James this morning, your version says mystery. To you, the mystery of the kingdom of God has been made known, the mystery. But this isn't a mystery it's not like a Sherlock Holmes novel where we have to read it and try to figure it out as we go along. A secret is a good translation here. It's the secret. It's something we can't figure out on our own, but it has to be made known. And that's why I said to you, this has been given. I'm giving you the answer. I'm giving you the secret. I'm making that known to you. So to those who are outside, they hear the parable, but they don't hear the truth that it contains. Those who are outside don't get the truth it contains. And it's not just that they don't get it. Verse 12 says, the words are actually judgment against them. Look at verse 12. To you, he says in verse 11, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that, and he's going to quote Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. He's quoting a fulfillment here. He's saying, so that this will be fulfilled, that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. The same words Jesus is saying, the same words bring life to some and bring judgment to others. The same words. This is a tension we have in Scripture. It's a tension we have across Scripture that holds us. Consider 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll put it up here for you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Peter says, for it stands in Scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become a cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. The same stone, for some it's the cornerstone, it's that on which they build their lives, and the same stone for others is a stone of stumbling. It's a rock of offense, the same stone. There's a tension here. So the same words in Mark 4 bring life to some and bring judgment to others. They bring light to those who he reveals it to, and they bring judgment to those who are outside. And that's difficult. It's a hard teaching for us. But it's an incredibly important passage in the Gospel of Mark. It's something we've got to understand as we're working through this gospel. And this parable is all about helping us understand this meaning right here. You remember the context of this parable, when he's telling this parable? What happened just this past week, as we read in Mark 3? He's just been confronted by these Pharisees, these scribes, who are saying he's possessed by a demon. He's demon-possessed, and that's why he's able to do these things. They're going, and he's telling them they're close to, if they haven't already committed this sin beyond which there's no forgiveness, they're attributing to Satan what is really the work of God. His own family is saying that he's out of his mind. He's being opposed by many. And Jesus is giving a word of judgment against them. Hey, these guys see what I'm doing, but they don't understand what's going on. They hear what I'm saying, they can't perceive it, they can't understand it. If they did, he's saying, if they did, they would repent and find forgiveness. Mark is not saying, Jesus is not saying that these two groups are fixed, that there are those who are outside and they'll always be outside, and there are those who are inside and these from this group can never get over here. He's not saying that at all. just below this, what we just read in verse 21, he says that he's come like a lamp to make the secret known. The whole point of the secret, he's saying, is so that he can make it known. It'll be revealed in him to all who would receive it, so that outsiders can become insiders. Jesus' family later will come inside. Some of the Pharisees will become insiders. In the very next chapter in Mark 5, next week, we're going to read of some who go from being outside to coming inside the faith. But for that to happen, verse 11 says that the secret of the kingdom must be revealed. It must be given, and it must be received. And so we need to ask. We need to hear prayerfully. We need to ask for wisdom. We need to ask for understanding. As we're reading this and as we're hearing this, we ask, we hear it prayerfully. That's exactly what Scripture teaches us to do. Mark 7:7, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. He says, everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. And this is why we open our 40 days of prayer with Psalm 119:18 just a couple of days ago. Psalm 119:18 will be on the screen where we pray, and the psalmist teaches us to pray, open my eyes. God, you must do that. Open my eyes so that I can behold wonderful things in this. The Psalms are full of those kind of prayers that we ask God to open our eyes so that we'll understand, that he'll reveal truth to us. This is why Ephesians 1:17 teaches us to pray that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. These things are given to us, and we must ask, we must hear prayerfully. Our growth in understanding spiritual things and understanding the kingdom of God and knowing Jesus, that's the gift of God. We're totally relying on him for that. So does your prayer life show that? Do you pray before you hear, or are you opening this with a cavalier attitude that you can just do it on your own without regard for God, without asking him to speak to you through it? And if you're someone who's still seeking, maybe you're unsure and you're here today, I invite you to pray. I would imagine that you're here because somebody prayed for you. Maybe somebody in this room, maybe a grandmother, maybe somebody in your family in the past, somebody's prayed for you, and I would imagine that you're here this morning if you're seeking because God is at work in answering that prayer. So I would just invite you to join in. Join in that prayer. Even with your doubts, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. Show yourself to me. Make yourself known to me. God, if this is true, help me to understand it. The secret has to be given to us. And so we have to hear it. We have to hear prayerfully. And right alongside that, Jesus is going to show us that we have to hear it well. And that's why he commands us to pay attention how you hear. So to his disciples, from verse 10 down through verse 20, he's going to explain this parable. And in this explanation, we're going to learn the companion to hearing prayerfully is to hear it faithfully. We not only have to hear prayerfully, we have to hear faithfully. He's holding up these truths that it's the work of God in us, and it's our responsibility to hear well, to hear attentively. Jesus describes that as hearing faithfully. Look at verse 13. He's teaching again, this is now to the 12 and those around him. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" The sower, he says, which we've seen is him. This parable is about the sower. The sower sows the word. So the seeds, this is the word of God. This is the gospel. Just what Jesus says. I came so that I can preach the gospel, he says in Mark 1:38. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path, he says in verse 15, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones that are sown on the rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves. They endure for a while, but then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. The sower sows the word. He sows the gospel. And as we're going to see in this explanation, where the soil of the seeds land, what happens with the seed is dependent on how people hear. How people hear. Writer Charles Swindoll once found himself, he shares in his book, Stress Fractures, he found himself with too many commitments in too few days. He said, I was snapping at my wife and our children. I was choking down my food at mealtimes and feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions all throughout the day. Before long, things around our home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up style, and it was becoming unbearable. He said, I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. Parents, we know this. We're there, and our children come forward. I want to tell you something. She began hurriedly. Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I want to tell you really fast. She understands what he's going through. I want to tell you really fast. Suddenly, he says, realizing her frustration, I answered, honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly. I'll never forget her answer, he said. She said, then listen slowly. Listen slowly. When it comes to hearing the word, when it comes to hearing Christ, how do you hear? Do you hear fast? Not really listening? Or do you listen slowly? Do you hear slowly? In verse 15, verse 16, and verse 18, these other three soils, each time when they hear, it says, the verb hear, it's in a tense that simply states the action. They just heard it, he says. When they hear, it's just kind of in one ear and out the other kind of hearing. It's just stated plain and simple. And Jesus is showing that because of the way they hear, the soil is hardened or other factors come into play and the seed doesn't take root. It's snatched up by Satan. He takes it away right away. And so that would remind us of 2 Corinthians 4:4, where we read that Satan blinds unbelievers. And here Jesus is saying he takes away this seed before it has a chance to bear fruit. It's snatched away. It's received and won them with joy, but there's no root, and it's really all about them. They're just kind of hearing quickly, and maybe there's an emotional response, which emotional response doesn't mean true salvation. Maybe there's an emotional response of joy, but it's just all about them, and they're not really hearing it, he says. The seed is choked out by cares of the world and desires of the flesh. And these three things here are commonly known as the three enemies of our faith. Satan and the world and the flesh, these are the three enemies that we face. But maybe there's a more significant enemy or just a significant enemy. Maybe our real enemy might be ourselves, just not hearing with faith. Look down at verse 20 at the difference here. Verse 20, we read again, those who hear. It says, those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. But the Greek word here, the verb tense shifts for the word hear in this case. It's a new verb tense here. And it's describing it's a present tense. It's describing a continual listening, a continual hearing. Every other time they just heard it. But now it's really, they keep on hearing. They keep on listening to the word. There's this continual action. It's really amazing. The main thing we're to do in this passage is just to hear. To hear. To hear his word. Discipleship involves active following, but it always begins with active listening. Active hearing. And look what happens with this hearing. They're the ones who hear the word and they accept it. That is, they receive it. And again, present tense, they keep on receiving. They keep on accepting it. That's faith. Mark's talking of faith here. They're hearing with faith, and then they bear fruit. And again, they keep on bearing fruit. And so for Mark, these are the marks of a true disciple. one who hears the word and keeps on hearing it, one who accepts it with faith, and one who continues to bear fruit in response to that. We've got to hear. We've got to hear faithfully. So there's two things for us there. When we think about hearing faithfully, that means consistently hearing in the sense of continual hearing. Be faithful in hearing continually. Put yourself in position to hear the word and to keep on hearing. So Sunday school matters. Sunday school matters. And I want to invite you, if you're not a part of Sunday school, come to Sunday school and jump in with a community of people who are following Christ together. It's a way you can get to know people here in the church on a much better level and hear this word taught so we can put ourselves in many positions as possible, as many as possible to hear the word taught. That's why this time matters. Our corporate worship time, this time matters so we can hear the word. Students, this is why Wednesday night matters. Wednesday night really matters. Listen, we are all the time being faced with the world and Satan and our own flesh to go in other ways. You guys are getting it nonstop all the time in the halls of your schools, the things you hear, the things your friends talk about. You need to keep hearing this word so it's not snatched away from you. Wednesday nights are a big deal for you guys, so you can come and be together with just the students and hear this word taught. That's why your personal devotion times matter. Reading his word or the 40 days of prayer, the battle plan for prayer, these things that we're doing to help us hear the word, but just read scripture. Read a psalm every day. Read a proverb every day. Read along with us through the Gospel of Mark. We've got to consistently hear his word. But if we're going to hear faithfully, we've also got to hear with trust and faith. We've got to have settled in our minds that everything this teaches is true. And so this comes above us. We're underneath the authority of this book. We've got to have that settled in our mind that it's over and above us. We trust it, we accept it, we hear it with faith. And that's what Jesus is talking about in verse 24 when he says, pay attention to what you hear. Those who hear like this, he says right after that, they're gonna be added to. We'll give them, Jesus says, you'll receive more faith. You're going to get more understanding through more hearing. So hear prayerfully and hear faithfully. And do these things. He's going to close the passage. Do these things to join in the growth of the kingdom. The one who hears it continually, the one who accepts it by faith, that's the one who bears fruit. That's exactly where this passage goes. I almost did this a couple of weeks ago, and I'm glad this morning that I waited. But in a couple of weeks, I'll go to the store, and I'll buy seeds for cucumbers and tomatoes, squash and zucchini. You're getting ready for lunch now. I'll buy seeds, and I'm gonna take these seeds, and I'll tell you what I'm not gonna do. I'm not gonna go take these seeds and put them on the shelf in my garage and leave them there and hope something happens, right? I'm going to take these seeds and I'm going to go out behind our fence to our little patch where we grow vegetables in the summer, and I'm going to plant them and I'm going to watch the growth. And that's what Jesus is describing is what happens here. As we receive the word, we receive the seed. We don't just hold on to it. We go and we spread it. We go and we plant it and we watch the growth. Look at verse 26. He's going to give us two more parables about seeds, and the focus this time is on the growth. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises at night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, and because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Quickly, he gives us three principles of what we're to do with what we hear from verse 26 to the end. He says we're to sow it broadly and then sleep peacefully and watch the kingdom grow. Sow it broadly. We're to take the seed and we're to spread it far and wide. We're to scatter the word. We're not to pick and choose where it goes, but we're just to spread it broadly. Listen, God can save anyone, and I would imagine there are people in this room that would say, all of us really should say, if he saved me, he could save anybody at all. And so there are many times where it's the person we would least expect who comes to faith in Christ. We've got to spread the seed. We've got to share broadly. But then we sleep peacefully. Look at what the man does who spreads the word in verse 27. He goes to sleep. The word does the work. The seed does the work. The work of the word is to do the work of God in the hearts of man. We spread the word and then we sleep peacefully. The work is not ours, it's God's. And so Paul the apostle said, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So we can rest. The results are up to God as we scattered the word. And then lastly, we watched the kingdom grow. He gives this parable about this small mustard seed. The smallest seed, he says, but when it's sown, it grows up and becomes the largest plant so the birds of air can come and make their nest in its shade. And that's the promise that the kingdom is going to grow. We're living beneficiaries of this promise. Think about how this promise must have seemed then. Jesus is in a room, and very likely almost all the followers of Jesus, if not all the followers of Jesus, are in this room. And he's saying, this is going to grow. He's actually drawing back to image from the Old Testament of this tree where the nations will come to it to find rest. This is going to grow to the point of reaching the nations is what he's saying. Think about even just a little bit later, after the resurrection, where 120 are gathered and that's it. And from that point, it's reached to Greenville, South Carolina from Jerusalem. And we're seeing this at work, the truth of this, such a small movement, and now billions of believers across history and across the globe even today. So the words of Zechariah the prophet, do not despise the day of small beginnings, is true. It may not look like much now, but God gives the growth. God gives the growth. When you read this book, what do you hear? What do you hear? Do you hear quickly or do you listen slowly? Do you pay attention to what you hear? Faith comes through hearing. So we need to be those who hear faithfully, hear prayerfully, hear continually, and then go and spread broadly and watch God bear fruit through us. I'm going to ask our worship band to come up, and we're going to sing.